Today, we talk about many of the myths and truths of overdraft privilege. I am your host, Honey Shelton, and this is Training Matters.
Training Matters is brought to you by the Training Institute, dedicated to setting the standard for individuals responsible for training effectiveness in banks and credit unions across the country.
We think this is a topic that really matters to you, so we'll dive right in and explore the all-important regulatory compliance issues that surround this topic. Plus, we will uncover the best way to educate your customer about overdraft privilege. Our guest today is Julie Story. Welcome to the show, Julie. We're so glad you're here. Tell us about yourself and your expertise.
Honey, thank you so much for the opportunity this morning. Just a little background on me. I spent 28 years in banking, both managing retail branches. At one point, I had a team of 50 branches. I also ran business banking, had a group of 35 business bankers and a whole lot more. For the last 7 years, I've been with Pinnacle Financial Strategies, and we work with community banks and credit unions throughout the U.S. to assist with many different needs, everything from overdraft privilege, reward checking, mystery shopping, also a smart business banking business development program. And I'm excited to be here today. I will certainly share whatever information I can regarding the myths and truths. I will also say that we have an amazing senior regulatory advisor that we work with that helps us ensure our compliance as it relates to overdraft privilege.
Well, awesome. I think that's the kind of information that our audience is curious about. We have people who are coming from every position in a financial institution, but a lot of times what we focus on is the branch. We focus on how people who engage over the phone or in person with an account holder can do their job and do it really well. And of course, we always want to support the trainers who are accountable for providing good training, designing good training. So let's get started with this. And first of all, why don't you clarify what we're talking about when we talk about overdraft protection and why it's a hot issue?
Overdraft protection has had a lot of media, and the challenge with just talking about overdraft protection in general is there's a lot of different types of overdraft protection or overdraft privilege in the market. Just to talk about basics, when we talk about overdraft protection, often that is meaning products and services available at banks and credit unions, such as maybe an overdraft sweep from a savings account into a checking to cover an overdraft, maybe an overdraft line of credit, or maybe another unique product. When we talk about overdraft privilege or balance protection or member privilege, that is typically a formal program where the financial institution is providing some type of limit or access to cover overdrafts. At Pinnacle, our overdraft privilege is a fully disclosed overdraft program. Not all programs are fully disclosed, meaning a member or a customer may or may not know how much of a limit is available and under what circumstances they will have that protection. So that's something that's been very important to Pinnacle. We are always in favor of full disclosure. And from a banker's perspective, that makes it, I think, much easier for the employees to be able to talk to an account holder about what that program is.
Well, that sounds very inclusive. And again, I think the comfort level around this product for both the consumer and the personal bankers or lenders that are having these conversations with customers trying to uncover needs and figure out what they need to do to best take care of the customer. Give me some examples, Julie, of when you're in there training a bank about how to have these important conversations to uncover needs and be sure the customer is well informed when they make a choice. Could you give us some examples of how to do that?
Absolutely. Most importantly, you want to make sure that employees understand your program or your product and how it works. When we talk to employees and we're training them on discussing member privilege, we encourage them to let the account holder know that the basic coverage is a feature of the account. And I like to divide it into two parts because, as we all know, in 2010, there were changes to Reg E that bifurcated the overdraft program. So a financial institution can choose to automatically offer the basic coverage. Now, an account holder always has the right to opt out of any overdraft. And that's important that they understand that, but they can automatically offer the basic coverage, which will cover checks, ACH, recurring debit transactions. It might cover teller transactions depending on the financial institution. We always present it as a safety net. It's not designed for someone to, you know, use it frequently, although some do. There are some excessive users. It's designed to be that safety net in the event of an emergency. You've made an error in your account, things of that nature. But it really offers protection. It's a privilege or a courtesy, meaning the financial institution could suspend that coverage if someone is abusing it. It makes it very convenient. You don't have to go somewhere else to get that protection, but it is a choice that the account holder can and should make. And so if a banker is uncomfortable with the product, and often they are because it's a little confusing, the chances of them being able to inform that account holder in a way that they can make an educated decision is challenging. So I always like to, again, break it into two pieces, the basic and enhanced, because the enhanced is coverage for everyday point of sale transactions or ATM transactions. And that is coverage that cannot be added to an account without a clear affirmative consent from the account holder. And that's really, really important. In fact, we were talking earlier about the recent situation where there are fines to a pretty large bank for doing some things that are indeed, you know, unfair and deceptive. When we talk about our overdraft privilege program, there isn't a cost to have the protection available, but there absolutely is a cost each and every time an account holder uses it. There's an OD fee for every item that goes into that overdraft privilege limit. And that's something you want to make sure it's clear. It's there. You're not going to pay for it to have it, but if you use it, you do pay for it. And opting in is completely optional. And we can talk a little bit later about ways that you can help an account holder understand the potential value to them of having that enhanced or opt-in coverage.
Well, I really like your approach to this, Julie, about helping people see that the program is typically tiered, that financial institutions adopt a policy. And one thing that I always say about products and services in the financial institutions we do training in is it's a good idea to see if you can accumulate a list of frequently asked questions, both internally and questions we anticipate or have already experienced that the customer has. Do you provide something like that, or do you recommend that when we look at this product, that there is that group of questions that typically people have, and then there's additional, maybe a little more complex, could be that there's certain accounts it doesn't or couldn't or wouldn't apply to, and so on and so forth. But I've found as a trainer that FAQs seem to quiet down the confusion, the fear, the ill-informed. So I'd like for you to maybe talk about that a little bit. And I also want to talk about a role play, but you can lead into that after FAQs, or we can pick that up when you're finished with it. But Do you have them? Do you recommend them? What do you think about that?
Yes, absolutely. We have frequently asked questions. We also have some, you know, myths and facts that we'll refer to. But more importantly, we talk about ways to address objections, because the key is, and having the FAQs, I think, is great for educating and for all of us to learn a baseline. But the reality is every account holder situation is going to be slightly different. And one of the risks of just having an FAQ is I hear an account holder say something. However, what I heard and what they intended might be different. And so having a process to overcome objections, I think, really helps. And it starts with listening, a basic skill, but one that most humans, we don't listen well. We're often thinking about what we want to say rather than hearing what an account holder is trying to convey to us. And once we listen and we hear what they're saying, it's essential to clarify what it is they mean, because what I say and what I mean are often different things. Or maybe I give an overarching, maybe I just say, no, I don't want it. Well, if they don't want it, I'm not going to force it on them, but I want to understand, if I can, why they don't want it. Because it may be that they have a concern that may or may not be valid. And so I do want to at least try to understand that, to just say, okay, could be doing a disservice to them if I don't really understand. But until I understand, any explanation I provide is likely to be off base for that account holder. There's never too much information and insight to be shared. In fact, one of the things that we have just done and we're working to release to many of our clients is a series of e-learning modules that can be used anytime for new hire training, for refresher training, and it includes a module on overcoming objections with four pretty consistent objections that you'll hear, and really walking through different ways to handle it.
So let's say that the customer says, no, I've heard a lot about overdraft protection and how expensive it is, and I don't want that. What would you recommend the next couple of steps be if you're a personal banker or a member service rep and you hear that from your new account holder?
I would say I can understand the thought of additional fees can be scary or uncomfortable for anyone. Honey, let me ask, have you had issues with overdraft fees in the past? If the person says, no, I've not had issues in the past, but I've heard horror stories, I'm going to head down one path. If they say, yeah, I had no idea that my account balance was low, there was something that came in that shouldn't have, and all of a sudden I had all of these fees, I can, in that case, say, I completely understand that. Now, let me ask you, do you currently use online banking or mobile banking to keep track of your balances? They're going to say yes or no. And then if the bank offers email or text alerts, I always like to say one of the things that I've done to kind of take the scary out of having access to that limit in the event of an emergency is I've set up email and text alerts to let me know when my balance gets low, because I get so busy, I don't even think about going out to look at online banking or mobile banking. So having something that proactively alerts me helps. Specifically, I'm on an account with my mom, and she has a tendency to use her debit card a lot. So having those alerts allows me to hopefully prevent an unexpected overdraft situation. Ultimately, depending on how that conversation goes, it's not uncommon for you to work through one objection, get to another objection in really more of a conversation format that ultimately allows that account holder to say yes or no. And whatever their decision is, we want to accept that, let them know that they have the ability to change their mind at any time. But at least you know you have given them insight that will help them to determine now and in the future if overdraft privilege either basic or enhanced, is the right thing for them.
Excellent advice.
Twice a year, Train the Trainer Bootcamp is offered here in Houston. The next one that's coming up is September 20th through the 23rd. Mark your calendar, contact us right away to save your seat. Train the Trainer Bootcamp is a highly interactive 4-day training program that teaches you exactly what you need in order to be proficient at training. Whatever role you play in the training arena, this learning experience will supercharge your competencies as a trainer. You will learn from the nation's top professionals how to bring your credibility, confidence, and speaking skills to the next level. Be here. Learn what you need to learn. Share what you know. To learn more about this incredible learning opportunity, go to interaction-training.com. Right there on the homepage, you will have options, including our calendar, that will show you how to get more information or to register for this September session that's coming up. When you go to Train the Trainer Bootcamp, you come back as the go-to person on how to elevate the quality of all training at your company. Be there September 20th through the 23rd.
What about this? I'm curious what you're seeing in the industry. Is the product experiencing less acceptance, more acceptance? And the second part of that question is, what do financial institutions typically do to be sure that their staff is well informed about this product and what it does for the consumer and what concerns we should always be mindful about? Long question, Julie, but I know you'll get it.
From a training perspective, training is absolutely essential. I can't speak for all financial institutions. Certainly, I can speak for the financial institutions that Pinnacle works with. And we feel that training is essential. We provide various training options for all of our clients. And as I mentioned, are now in the process of releasing training that's available to them at any time. We've always had an e-learning module available, but it's been really enhanced so that it's really giving them everything that we provide in an in-person session. So really making sure people understand is important. And there's two sides to that, as you know, honey, with training. I can go and train and say, I've trained everyone, but unless we really know they understand, then we may or may not have accomplished anything. I'm a huge fan of role plays. When I do overdraft privilege training, I do a lot of role plays, and it's uncomfortable for most people. However, the learning experience that happens in those role play situations can be essential. So I do the more mini role plays. I set up the room in a U. I always say nobody is safe. And we walk through overcoming objections. We walk through situations of how do you explain overdraft privilege? How do you explain the process of getting enhanced coverage or opting in? And I always like to encourage folks to use words that make sense to the account holders. As an example, one bank, before we started their custom training program, I said, how do you explain overdraft privilege to your customers? And they started talking about, you know, the overdraft program and Reg E, and that you could opt into Reg E. And I said, wow, I probably, if you told me I could opt into Reg E, would say no, because that sounds scary. I don't know what Reg E is, and it certainly doesn't sound like anything I would want. So using terminology, and if you use Reg E, and Reg E certainly is the regulation that requires that an account holder provides affirmative consent to have overdraft protection or overdraft privilege on a point of sale debit card or ATM transaction, but explain that in words that the account holder can understand so that they can absolutely make the right decision. And it's also important to remember that overdraft privilege or member privilege isn't for everyone. Most people will want the basic coverage because there isn't really a downside. You're going to get charged if you overdraw your account for each item that overdraws. However, if you have the privilege, the items may be paid if it's, you know, inside that limit. So that could help you avoid potential fees from maybe lenders or merchants. So it's a very valuable service. And the regulators recognize that when they designed the two parts to overdraft privilege in 2010. Most people want those items paid, those checks, the ACH, or the recurring debit transactions. When you look at the enhanced coverage, you're going to have a lot of customers that want that, but not everyone. And it's important to understand that. And my personal bias can be bad, whether I'm overzealous about the product and think everyone should have it, or I don't like the product at all and don't feel anyone should have it. That could hurt an account holder. So we want to provide factual information in an unbiased fashion and really working with employees to make sure they're comfortable with the product, going through why somebody would want any of the coverage, and just as importantly, why they wouldn't want the coverage, what products and services the bank has that can help the account holder manage their account better, because that's, you know, good account management is the best way to avoid an overdraft. And there's a lot of electronic tools available today that can really help an account holder stay on top of their balance. A lot of folks don't use check registers. Obviously, I'm showing my age. You know, I always used a check register. Think about how the industry has changed. We went from everybody had a checkbook and a checkbook register to now I can do things with a plastic card and my register is not with me when I do the transactions. People can easily lose track of their balance. So you want to make sure that they know what options are available to keep track of that balance so they're not caught off guard.
Great. You've talked quite a bit about Pinnacle and your interactions with banks and credit unions. Is there anything in particular you'd like to say about how Pinnacle distinguishes itself from other providers of this product?
Absolutely. Pinnacle, I think first and foremost, is about full disclosure, clarity, making sure that it's a program that account holders can understand, and there should not be surprises. It's designed to be non-discriminatory. So limits are set based on the account type. And I know if I have a free checking account, what my limit will be. I also know how long I have to repay any overdraft where that limit has been used. I should know that there's not a cost to have the service, but there's absolutely a cost anytime I use it, that there will be an OD fee for that service. With Pinnacle, our implementation process is very consultative. We don't just come in, install software, and do a training program. We work very closely with each financial institution to make sure that we understand what they're doing, how they're doing it, what's important to them, and find that happy medium. We are huge advocates of making sure everything is compliant. We want to do everything in our power to ensure that the financial institution is doing the right things to avoid any issues from a compliance or regulatory perspective.
Well, great. That speaks volumes how long Pinnacle's had this product out there. And I've certainly had firsthand experience as a banker with your product. I know that that's not the only product that Pinnacle is about today. How about you take a couple of minutes and tell us about the other programs with maybe some emphasis on mystery shopping, taking into account again. I know our listeners are so committed to delivering great service and paying attention to cross-selling. I'm sure that's a part of your mystery shop, but give us your pitch about what else Pinnacle does as we wrap up.
Absolutely. We have a number of great solutions, and I will say that the majority of our solutions have been driven by the needs of financial institutions. We, of course, have Overdraft Privilege, our flagship product. We also have what we call What Counts Checking, which is a very customizable rewards checking solution. And the key product that we offer there is a cashback, because as we all know, cash is king, and that's something that's been very popular. And we're able to provide a tremendous amount of a consultative approach with that solution to help financial institutions design one or more variations of our What Counts Checking to meet their needs. We also have, of course, as you mentioned, what we call peak performance measurement. And peak performance measurement includes our mystery shopping. It includes voice of the customer survey. It includes a number of different mystery shopping and gathering insight and information from account holders. We've done everything from traditional mystery shopping to, where permissible, video mystery shopping as well. We also have our Smart Business Banking program, and I'm certainly a bit biased with this program because this is something that I was able to develop. It started with a client that wanted to implement an outside business development calling program for their financial institution. We did a custom consulting program for a very large community bank. And after talking to several other clients, they said, gosh, we'd love to have that type of a program, but we can't afford a custom consulting program. So I took everything that we had done to help this very large community bank and put together a complete program so a smaller community bank or credit union could build the foundation for outside business development, have the sales skills training, as well as consultative support to really get the program up and running. So a lot of times I'll hear somebody say, I just want a great program. And my response is, if you don't have a foundation and a program and a process that you intend to use to keep all of those skills that you're learning alive, chances are we're going to snap back to the way we've always done it. So this program is designed to really have that foundation and to build the structure that's needed to really get out there, work with businesses in the community, do a better job with existing clients or account holders walking through the door. So it's a very complete program.
That is very inclusive about product, training, growth, the things that I think today's community-minded financial institution is all about. Tell us quickly how someone could get in touch with you, Julie, if they wanted to know more about what you've talked about today.
Absolutely. We have certainly our website, which is pinstrat.com, pinnstrat.com. That's a great way to look at not only the products that I mentioned, but also our Snap Account Opening, which is an iPad account opening solution. Right now it's designed for Jack Henry cores. We also have debit optimization, and it's all of the information is out there on our website. Also, they could feel free to call us toll free at 866-737-1235. Again, that number is 866-737-1235.
Well, Julie, I certainly want to thank you for sharing information and ideas, solutions that I know our clients will be interested in using to polish their skills and to make a positive impression with their customer and keep the regulators happy. We'd love to have you come back. Thank you again for being here today, Julie.
Honey, thank you so much. It's indeed my pleasure.
You've been listening to Training Matters with Honey Shelton.